Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
So, Mark Hankins preached last week on the power of believing and speaking the word, and I'm going to continue on that line. I'm going to teach on the language of faith. So if you'll open your Bible, he kind of started into this and then didn't really go there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 13. It says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak." Now, Paul is here and he's talking about how he faces challenges. He's actually talking about inside we have the life of God, the light of God, the power of God. But on the outside, we're faced with different difficulties. And he's talking about how he goes through that. And he says, we face that with faith. We having the same spirit of faith. And if you study that word out where it says we have the same spirit of faith, in the Greek it says something like this. We having the exact same spirit of faith. Praise God. So you have the exact same spirit of faith. And he's actually quoting David, but actually I believe David is quoting God. Now, when you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, the scripture says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, then you are none of his. Verse 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And then verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that lives in you. Now, when you read that again in the Greek, the Spirit of him, it means that you have the exact same Spirit in you that raised up Jesus from the dead. So you have the Spirit of Christ in you. If you don't have that Spirit, then you're none of his. That's what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So since you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22 and verse 23 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So since you have the Spirit of Christ in you, this exact same Spirit of Christ, and the fruit of the Spirit is faith, you have the exact same faith as Jesus. And Paul is saying here, when I'm facing trouble, when I'm facing difficulty in the natural realm, the way I face it is through faith. In other words, when I'm facing challenges in the outward realm, I'll show you in a minute, I speak the word. I say what God says about the situation. Now let's jump up to verse 6, and we'll read verse 6 and 6 through verse 10. Notice what he says. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So he's saying, God shined in our heart. We have the life of God, the light of God, the love of God on the inside of us. We have the power of God on the inside of us. But even though we have the power of God inside of us, doesn't mean that we're never going to face trouble, because we're in a world that's been affected by sin and Satan. So he says in verse 8, we're troubled on every side. In other words, as I'm going forward to fulfill my destiny, sometimes trouble comes. Sometimes difficulty comes, yet not distress. So he says, the physical side, right, is we're troubled on every side. The spiritual side is we're not distressed. He says, we're perplexed. We don't understand everything. The physical side. The spiritual side is we're not in despair. The physical side is we're persecuted. The spiritual side is, but not forsaken. The physical side is we're cast down. The spiritual side is we're not destroyed. He says in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. In other words, Paul says, we're going for it spiritually. We're moving into our purpose. We're moving into our destiny. We're moving into what God's called us to do, God's called us to be. But at the same time, we are facing challenges in the outward realm. He says we do that. He says we who live in verse 11 are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us. See, Paul, when he made a decision to follow God, to follow Jesus, he faced many challenges. But he says, life in you. He goes on, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and speak. So when we're facing these challenges, what do? We keep believing and we keep speaking what God says about us. Amen. We keep saying what God says about us, knowing that he who raised up Jesus will raise us up by Jesus and present us with you. For all these things we do are for your sakes, and that the abundance of grace through the thanksgiving of many may redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Even though we're facing challenges, even though there are difficulties, we're not fainting. He says, but though our outward man perish, the physical man, yet our inward man, the spiritual man, is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, the challenges that we face in the natural realm. Now, when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul faced some major challenges. He said, I've been shipwrecked. I've been in the deep 3 days. I've been stoned and left for dead. I've been beaten with 39 stripes 3 times. In other words, he went through these challenges because he was pursuing the purpose of God, and he was going for what, and you know what? There were people who persecuted him, who came against him, but he calls it a light affliction. He says that is but for a moment. This physical challenge, he said it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, this spiritual promise. For while we look not at the things which are seen, we refuse to give attention to the challenge. We refuse to give attention to the difficulty. We refuse to give attention to the problem, but the things which are not seen. We are focused on the realm of the spirit. We are focused on the spiritual man. For the things which are seen, these temporary problems that we face, they are temporary. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. The promises of God that we have are eternal. Praise God. So Paul says, the way that we face challenge, the way we face difficulty, the way that we face problems that are contrary to what God promised us, contrary to what we're believing for, is we continue to believe and speak the word. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and we also speak. So he's actually quoting David, and David talks about this in Psalm 116. So take a moment, we'll go back to Psalm 116. And my first point in this message comes from Psalm 116, and that is this: David spoke the word of God. Let's look at this. Psalm 116, we'll begin reading in verse 7. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death and my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed and therefore have I spoken, and I was greatly afflicted. In other words, what's he saying? He said, I'm believing, I'm speaking, right? What God said, at the same point in time, I was greatly afflicted. So what do you do when you're afflicted? What do you do when problems come that don't look like what you're believing God for is coming to pass? You keep believing and you keep speaking what God said about you. And in this case, David spoke good things, and he spoke them because, number one, he had an undying and enduring confidence and faith in the goodness of God. Look at verse 7. He says, return unto your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. So when I face challenges, I know that God is a good God. And when I look at this word bountifully, in the Hebrew, it's the word gamal. It means the Lord has rewarded me, the Lord has repaid me, the Lord has done me good. Hallelujah. The Lord has dealt bountifully with me. The Lord has been good to me. Notice as he goes forward, he says, you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from fire. God, you have delivered me. God, you have helped me. Not unlike what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've had this death. We've had these problems. We've had these challenges. But we refuse to focus on those things which are seen because they're temporary, and we choose to focus on those things which are unseen for they're eternal. And he says this then in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the... I have an eternal hope in God. So no matter what challenges that I face while I'm in this body, while I'm here on this planet, no matter what problems I face in eternity, I'm going to live with God. I'm going to live with Christ. And that hope keeps me going. Amen? So he says, I believed and therefore I've spoken and I was greatly afflicted. So I'm going to keep believing and speaking the word of God. Now, a good example of David facing challenges is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, God sent Samuel to anoint David, one of Jesse's sons, to be king over all of Israel. You know the story, how it went through all the sons and finally he says, is there anybody else? They said, oh, yeah, little David, he's out keeping sheep. He said, go get him and don't sit down until he gets here. So they come in, and when David comes in, the Lord says, arise and anoint him, for this is the one that I've chosen. So David's anointed. Then eventually he goes back out in the field. He's back out taking care of his father's sheep. Then in 1 Samuel chapter 17, Israel is at battle with the Philistines. And so David's still taking care of the sheep. His brothers are out to war with the armies of Israel. His dad says, send David, take 10 cheeses. I imagine these big rolls of cheese like I see when I was a kid. They used to have these rolls. He sends, you know, David's dad was a big thinker. He was a big sower. His kids got less. So I see David taking like a cart, right? He's loaded up with cheese. Don't only take some from, you know, feed a bunch of guys while they're out there. And so David's going. When he gets there, Goliath is marching up and down in the valley of Elah. The children of Israel are on one side. It's about a quarter mile wide. The Philistines are on the other side. And Goliath, this giant of Gath, is marching back and forth. And he says, listen, if there's one of you that can come and fight and defeat me, then all of the Philistines will serve you. But if I defeat him, then all of the Israelites will come and serve us. And these armies, you know what? They're afraid. I mean, he's a giant. And David comes, and David looks at it differently. Notice what it says in verse 23. As he talked with them, behold, this Philistine of Gath. He'd been doing it for 40 days. So out there every day, just intimidating them. How many of you know the devil likes to intimidate you? The devil wants to intimidate you with fear. And he's going back and forth. And the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. It shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches. He will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in it. Not paying, that's a good reason to kill this giant right there. Not only do I get it, my whole family gets no tax. Glory to God, that's a wonderful thing. So he says that. And so David said, notice in verse 26, he spoke to the men that stood by him saying, what shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So David talks differently. But the reason that David talks differently than the average person is because David sees differently. And the reason David sees differently, ultimately, I believe, is because the anointing that is on his life. So David's been out in the back 40, right? Nobody knows about him. Nobody really cares. He's been out there playing a harp, playing a flute, worshiping God. For thou, O Lord, you are high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. He's been out there just worshiping God. He's been out there glorifying God and magnifying God. And so when he shows up, number one, he's anointed by God. But number two, he's been in the presence of God. And he's been, had his focus on God. So here's all his brothers and all these armies, you know, soldiers of Israel. And they're out there and they've been looking at this giant day by day. Right, march back and forth and threaten them. And they are intimidated. But David sees differently. Number one, because he's been anointed. Number two, because he's been in the presence of God. And number three, because he's fixed his eyes on God. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this no covenant man that he should defy the armies of the living God? See, he sees it completely differently. Here's the challenge. Many times the people of God are focused on the same things as the world, and they're meditating on the same information as the world, and they wonder why they're not having different results than the world. But when you focus and meditate on the same information as the world, you're going to get the same results as the world. But David's been focused on God, meditating on God, number one. Number two, he's anointed to do something about it. So he sees the thing completely different, and he begins to speak in a different way. And you will speak from that what you see in your inward man. I'm talking about the picture that you have on the inside of you. So David speaks, and the people answered him after this manner, so shall it be done. And Eliab, his eldest brother, verse 28, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why did you come down here? With whom did you leave those few sheep? He's just deriding him in the wilderness. Why don't you stay back in the back 40, David? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, that you're come down that you might see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Isn't there a cause? Don't we live for a reason that's greater than ourselves? Listen, if at any time there's been a cause to live for Jesus, to boldly proclaim Christ, to witness to your friends, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to preach the word, to get people, there's a reason today. Isn't there a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. In other words, what David did is he said and he kept on saying. And as believers, you know what we need to do? We need to say and we need to keep on saying what God has said about us. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, to hold fast to the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. So David went out there and the general multitude, you know, doubted him, but he kept on saying. And his brother derided him, and he kept on saying. And the people spoke to him again, and he kept on saying. He kept saying what God said about him, and he kept saying what God said about the situation. Now, as we continue to look on it, notice what it says in verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. You know what? When you keep saying what God says about you, eventually somebody's going to hear that. Eventually that word's going to go before somebody's ear. Eventually somebody's going to, and it's going to get their attention. And so he sent for David, and David said to Saul in verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he's a man of war from his youth. What are you? You're a pretty little red-headed boy. You know, who are you? And David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. You know what? You need to watch what you're doing when nobody's watching. You need to watch your attitude when nobody's watching. You see, because when nobody sees you, God sees you. When you think nobody cares, God cares. And so David said, listen, I was out there. I was in the back 40. I was taking care of the sheep, and there came a lion. And you know what? He could have easily just let the lion go. But he said, no, I went after him. There was some integrity in David's heart. In fact, the Bible says that God chose David because of the integrity of his heart. He chose him from the flock. And there came a bear, and that bear took a lamb, and I went after him. And he said, I went out after him, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. Verse 36 says, thy servant slew both the lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. It's personal, friend. It's personal. He has defied my God. And he went on and said, moreover, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. How many of you know you need to know that the Lord is with you? You know, when I came and started this church, I told Barbara, I said, listen, baby, if Jesus doesn't show up, we are toast. We are finished. It's nothing. It's nada. It's over. It's not going to happen. Right? Now, when I started my first church in 1988 in Kit Carson, Colorado, I had this mentality. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. And I knew I could do it. But, you know, it's still Christ who strengthened me. But then when I started this church, I had this mentality. Jesus said, John 15, I think it's verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. They're both focused on him. But I actually believe the second position is stronger. Because if Jesus doesn't show up, it's over. Just hang it up and go home. Praise God that Jesus has showed up. Amen. And he's helped us. And he's helped us. And he's helped us. And he's helping us. And he will help us. Hallelujah. It's evident to me that he's helping us. He said, the Lord be with you. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass on his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword on his armor, and he talked about going, but he said, listen, I can't go with these because I haven't proved it. I cannot go with these. I have not proved them, and David put them off. He said, listen, I know how to handle a sling. I know how to handle a stone. Praise God. And he took his staff in his hand and he chose five smooth stones. Somebody said, why did he take five stones? Well, Goliath had some brothers. Number one. Number two, there's a possibility he could miss. Amen. What do you do if you miss? Go again. And he put them in his shepherd's bag, even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near to David. Goliath was so big, he had a man that went before him and carried his shield. And the man that bears shield went before him. And the Philistine looked out about and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David in verse 33, Am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the beasts of the field. Now, you never want to be intimidated by the devil. In fact, you never want to let the devil trash talk you. If the devil talks to you, you need to talk back. Talk back to the devil. Trash talk him. And then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the God of the armies of the Israel whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you, and I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the army of the Philistines today to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all of this congregation, all of this assembly will know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And you know what David did? David did exactly what he said. So point number one is, when David faced challenges, David spoke the word of God. He spoke his faith. Now, I'm sure that David got this from God. And I'm sure that he got, because in the beginning, when God created the heaven and earth, God spoke it into existence. And we're going to look at that really quickly. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you something really quickly. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, when it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, the Hebrew word for moved is rakaf. And it means to be relaxed, to flutter, to move, to shake, or to hover. It's like a chicken brooding over its eggs. You can literally say the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the earth. And I believe what was happening was the Holy Spirit was creating a plan for what the Father and the Son were going to speak into existence. Because when the Father spoke, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was right there with him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus was in the beginning with the Father creating all things. So the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters, over the face of the earth. And after he did that, I believe the Holy Spirit was creating the plan. Then God said in verse 3, "Let there be light," and there was light. In verse 6, it says, "God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water." Light be. And light what? Firmament be. And God said in verse 9, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit of the tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." In verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and for years." Verse 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature of life, and birds fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." In verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, the creeping thing, the beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so." Verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, the birds, the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing upon the earth." Verse 28, "And God blessed them after he created man. He said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish, the birds, and over everything that moves on the earth." Verse 29, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, and every tree in the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you shall it be for meat." In other words, God gave them dominion, God blessed them, and then God gave them something to do it with. He gave them animals that had life and plants that had seed. He gave them something to do it with. And then verse 31 says, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. God said, 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 and then God saw. He said 10 times, and then he saw. So I'm sure that David learned the power of speaking from God, because we're created in the image of God, and we're made to have dominion on the earth. And the way that we take dominion is through our voice. In fact, I believe that the strongest thing that we have going as believers on the earth is our voice. Hallelujah. And you keep believing and speaking God's word, and you see what happens. So, number one, David spoke. Number two, God spoke. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so things which do appear were not made of things which appear. In other words, God took things that were unseen and spoke from, and took things from the unseen realm, from the realm of the spirit, into the seen realm, into the realm of the natural, by the power of the spoken word. Paul's saying the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We then, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and we speak. So we take things from the realm of the spirit and we bring them into the natural realm, into the realm of the flesh, by believing and speaking the word of God. So point number one, David spoke. Point number two, God spoke. Point number three, we speak. We then, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, he's quoting David, I believe and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and we speak. But why do we believe and speak? The reason that we believe and speak, the reason that we speak is because that's what we believe. We don't speak to move God. You see, God already moved, right, in the creation. God already moved in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God already made his promise. Jesus already did the work. But what do? We speak, right? Because we believe what God said about the situation to be so. Now let's go to a scripture, and I'll give you a scripture to show this. Look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to verse 37. Matthew chapter 12, in verse 34, Jesus says, "Oh, generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes." I got really heated about an issue the other day. I was preaching in a pretty public place. Nothing like dealing with a venomous snake, talking to a venomous snake. I was talking about somebody criticizing one of the ministers that comes here to this church. Doesn't have any right to do it. I called him and asked him, this is what you're saying. He owned up to it. Just made me mad. You ever get mad? Maybe I'm not quite like God. I'm sure God wasn't happy with the situation. In fact, this guy sowed so much strife in this church. It's terrible. And I sat here and watched it happen. I stood on this platform in December of 19, and I blessed the man, and that man stood right over here, and I watched him sow strife, and I watched it. I could have called it out from the pulpit. I could have called him and said, what's that you got to? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. You curse men and you bless God. These things should not be, James said. But I didn't say anything about it. But he sowed strife in the man he sowed into. He sowed so much strife in the man's mind, the man could not get over it. Because he came in and attacked me. That man came in that he sowed the strife in, came in and attacked me five times after that. sowed so much strife in that guy's brain. You ought to watch the words you say. Don't be sowing strife. Where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. And you better watch the seeds that you're sowing in somebody else's field. They might come and grow in your own. You got to guard. Your words have power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So guard the words of your mouth. Guard. So Jesus says, oh, you generation of snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, here's why you're saying what you're saying. You're saying what you're saying because you're thinking what you're thinking. And you're thinking what you're thinking because of what you've been meditating on. So if you meditate on the word in abundance, you will speak the word in abundance. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says it this way. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein both day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In other words, if you meditate the word, you will speak the word, you will do the word, and the word will produce a harvest of life in your life. But the challenge with many believers, I said it before, I'll say it again, is they're meditating on the same pool of information that the world is meditating on. And because they're meditating on the same information, as a whole, they're speaking more what the world says than what God says, and they're receiving the same results as the world. So if you want to change what you're receiving, you've got to change what you're meditating on. And if you change what you meditate on in your heart, in your soul, you out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you meditate the word, you will begin to speak the word. In fact, I had a major transformation that happened in my mind in about 1998. And what happened was it's about finances. I took the scriptures and I spoke the scriptures from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through verse 14. Over for 3 to 6 months, I walked back and forth in my church and I spoke those scriptures over myself every day. Personalized the blessing of God, the covenant of blessing. Then I spoke Psalm 112, verse 1 through verse 4. I personalized that and I spoke the whole chapter. Amen? And I took Psalm 115, verses 9 through verse 16, and I spoke those words. In fact, many of you have received thank you notes from me, and I put those words in there from Psalm 112, from Psalm 115. That's because that became a major revelation in my life. I did that for 3 to 6 months, and what happened was a transformation took place in my mind, where I literally go to my own church and have to, when people would talk, like put a lid over my mind so I wouldn't receive what they were saying, because what they were saying was agreeing with what the stock market or the cattle market or the grain market or all these things in the world said. They were focused on the same information and they were receiving the same results as the world. But as I renewed my mind, as I meditated on the word, I began to talk differently. I began to think differently. I began to talk differently. And as a result, I have received very differently from that point in time. You see, before every transformation in the physical, there has to be a transformation in your mind. And if you get a transformation in your mind, you see, the Bible says, I beseech you now, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into the mold or follow the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But if you have a transformation in your mind, you will have a transformation. You'll have a manifestation in your body. If you have a transformation in your mind, you'll have a manifestation in your body. So if you want to change the manifestation that you're receiving in your body, you have to have a transformation in your mind.
See, your spirit was transformed when you got born again. You became a new creation, created in the image of God. You have the very nature, very life, very ability of God. You have the exact same spirit as Jesus in your spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Your spirit was transformed when you were born again, but you've got to renew your mind. You've got to when you renew your mind, you can't help but say some things different. You can't help but think differently and talk differently and act differently because something happened on the inside of you and something happened and you see it different. See, David saw it differently, and because he saw it differently, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You see differently when you see from the perspective of God. The problem with too many people, rather than talking to the mountain about God, they're talking to God about the mountain. And the Bible never says to talk to God about the mountain. The Bible says, talk to the mountain about God. It says, have faith in God, for whoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, when you get in the presence of God, what do you want? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So don't talk to God about the mountain. Talk to the mountain about God. You see, the challenge with all David's buddies, all his brothers and all those soldiers was they was looking at the giant and they were talking to God about the giant. But when David came, he started talking to the giant about God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Oh, yes, I saw that lion fall. I saw that bear fall. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he's going to be just like that lion and like that bear. I've proven it out. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, look at this in verse 35. Matthew 12, verse 35, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. When you meditate the word, you can't help but speak the word of God. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle, every non-working and dead word that men shall speak, they will give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Your words. So the words that you speak come out of your heart, and that comes from what you meditate on. So when you meditate on the promises of God, when you meditate on what God says, you can't help but speak some things, right? So I'll give you a couple of examples. Is that okay? Real quick. So in the year 2006, Andrew Womack came to our church. We were in his building on Elkton Drive, and Andrew Womack spoke a word, and he said, you're in the second stage of a five-stage plan that God's put, that God has for your life and ministry. And he spoke that over Barbara and I. So I prayed about it because Andrew's given me about 20 words of knowledge. In the past, 19 of them have come to pass. We're in process on 20. It's coming. It's coming. The flood is coming. But he said this word. And so as I prayed that whole week and I meditated, the Lord said, the first stage was the church in Kit Carson. The second stage is here. The third stage is television and media ministry. The fourth stage is pastors and churches. And the fifth stage is more to do with Bible school. Now, for a long time, I tried to keep that hidden in me. I tried not to tell people, right? Because sometimes people aren't there. They can't receive it. But you know, when you meditate on things, once in a while, it's just going to come out of you. Once in a while, it's just going to come out. Like I try not to tell you some things that God's put in my heart, but once in a while, I get under the anointing because I've been thinking it. It just comes out of me. So Ashley Teredes talked about how he came to the church, and I had 200 or 300 people, and I get up there and say, we're going to have 1,000 people, and we're going to give $500,000 a year to missions and other ministries, and that's taken place. That happened, and God put that in my heart in 1998, and it came to pass in 2016. And see, God's put more in my heart now. So once in a while, I try not to say it, but once in a while, it just jumps out of me. Because I've already went there. And I'm not thinking about giving $500,000 a year away anymore to missions and other ministries. I'm thinking about giving $5 million a year away. Hallelujah. That's what I'm thinking about. Because your thoughts precede your actions. And once in a while, I try not to tell too many people, but once in a while, it just comes out of me. You know, because I've already been in my mind. I've already went there. I've already thought those thoughts, right? So I can't help but once in a while get in the presence of God. Then, 2017, the Sunday after the inauguration of Donald Trump, in January, God woke me up at 4 a.m. Sunday after Donald Trump was inaugurated. I watched the inauguration. He told me two things. He said, number one, he said, America is going to have 7 years of tremendous prosperity. Now, the things that went into effect during the Trump administration are still working, and we're still living, benefiting from that, in spite of all this mess that we're dealing with. Now, that's good through 23. I still believe it. Amen? And we're still benefiting from it personally and benefiting from it as a church. Okay? Then he also told me the African-American man that prayed for Donald Trump in the inauguration, he said his Christian network will become one of the largest Christian networks in the nation. I was on there one day a week then. I was paying about $500 a program. And we got on there because they were on Dish Network and nobody else was on Dish that we were on, so we got on that network. Now, since after that, I bought 2 days and I bought 5 days a week. So I'm on there 5 days a week and they love me. And I'm not paying much more, amen, right now to be on. It's a nationwide network. They're on Dish. They're on Direct. They're on Comcast. They've got well over 80 million homes in America. Hallelujah. And they love me. And they treat me good. And we pay cash. Hallelujah. Amen. But see, God showed me that. But when I shared it in church, I also said this. I didn't even realize I said it. I said, and God's going to give us a great big building somewhere. January 2017. So, Saturday, March 4th, 2017, Dr. Weiss emails me this building. It doesn't look anything like this on the inside when we bought it, but it's on a bank auction. Starting bid, $1.5 million. He said, Pastor, this isn't my new building, but I believe it's our new church. I looked at it a little bit, and the Holy Spirit said, that is your new church. So it had foreclosed just 5 days before on February 27th or something like that, 28, whatever. We bought it 30 days later, March 29th. We won the auction. Hallelujah. We bought it $5.4 million. Amen. And we had $300,000 bank fees in. We spent $2 million building that. And the day we moved in, it was paid off. See, because there's some things that God put in my heart. And there's some things that God's put in my heart that are beyond this. Amen. So we're already preparing. But you see, if I wouldn't have done what the Lord told me to do, we wouldn't have prepared to do that. But because I did what the Lord told me to do, when that time came, it was just like walking through a door. And you couldn't borrow the money because it's a bank. If you didn't have cash, you didn't come. And you had to prove that you had the cash before you came to the auction. But see, because I did what Jesus, when we bought the building on Elkton, see, the Lord told me we owed about just over $600,000. Jesus said, pay this off and save money. I said, yes, sir. So I did. He said, save at least 20%. I did exactly what Jesus told me to do. So when this building came available, we were ready. Right? So if you don't, sometimes you're not ready for the next instruction because you haven't obeyed the last instruction. So I'm doing what the Lord's telling me to do now. Right? So that I can move in to what the Lord has next. But if I don't do what the Lord tells me to do now, I won't be ready. And some people don't understand it. Some people don't understand it because they don't have a heart. In fact, Mark gave me this word. He said, before every promotion, there's a betrayal, Pastor. Or he said, there's a betrayal in every promotion. So don't worry about the betrayal. Just keep on going because God's promoting you. Amen? And God's taking us into those things that he has for us. But we listen to the voice of God and then we act. But notice this, he says, your words. And you meditate. And when you meditate, you can. In fact, there was a lady that came when we moved into the Elkton building. She had been in the church for years. And she listened to a series. And she said, Pastor, I was here all those years. And I watched you. And you preached. And you said things. And it looked like there was nothing on the horizon. It looked like nothing would happen. And then I saw it happen. And she said, it happened just like you said. Hallelujah. In fact, people, when we started the church, we had almost nobody. We had Mike and Mary Peterson there back here. We had Greg Trout. Greg got married. Barbara said the church doubled. That's all we had. That's all we had. So we had Mike and Mary and we had Greg. And we started and we were preaching and people would come and they said, tell us your vision. I said, stay around and you'll see it. And after a year and a half, I said, I got 25,000 in the building fund. After 2.5 years, I said, I got 75,000. After 3.5 years, I said, I got 150,000. After 4.5 years, I said, I got 250,000. After that, and we grew till we had $1 million. And when God opened that door on Elkton, we walked on that building on Elkton, we walked right into it and did exactly right what we said. Hallelujah. But it was a little bit at a time. It was a little bit at a time. And see, what people don't realize is a lot of times great things come a little bit at a time. But if you won't be faithful in the small things, God will not make you ruler over that which is much. But if you learn how to be faithful in the small things, and actually that's Luke 16 talking about finances, then God will make you ruler over much. Amen? So we said, and we kept on saying, can I give you one more example? See, David spoke, God spoke, and we speak. Let's look at this in Romans chapter 10. You all know it. But verse 6 through verse 10, Paul says this. He says, the righteousness which is of faith talks this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall say, ascend into heaven? We don't have to go into heaven and get God down. He says in verse 7, or say, who shall descend to the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? What he's saying is Jesus already came from heaven. He came to the earth. He lived a sinless, holy, perfect, and pure life. He died on the cross for our sin. He went to the grave and conquered the devil. And God raised him from the dead and made him Lord. But he says this in verse 8. The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I say with my mouth, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. In fact, I've been saying that. In the year 2016, they came to us. I had bus benches all over the city that said, Jesus is Lord. I had them on the buses that said, Jesus is Lord. And the city said, you cannot advertise anymore using the name of Jesus. I said, I've been doing that for 3 years, and I will continue to do it. And I got them all over the city today saying, Jesus is Lord. Now, why do I say Jesus is Lord? I don't say Jesus is Lord to make him Lord. God made Jesus Lord when he raised him from the dead. And because I believe that Jesus is Lord, I speak with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. In fact, you can't get me not to confess that Jesus is Lord because I believe at a heart level that Jesus is Lord. Amen? So he says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. You see, Jesus made righteousness available in his death and resurrection. And because I believe it, I'm moving into it. And with mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, if I look at this, With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I study it out. I find out that salvation, soteria is the Greek word, is forgiveness, healing, deliverance, protection, and provision. And I say with my mouth, Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my peace. Jesus is my deliverer and my protector. And Jesus is my provider. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my peace. Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my deliverer. And Jesus is my provider. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's a lot of things I say. In fact, the other day, Barbara was up. She was clear up in our bedroom, clear at the other end of the house. We live in a nice big house that Jesus gave her. And I was clear at the other end of the house by the kitchen in the back porch. And something came to me. And I just shouted, "Woo!" And she said, What is that? What are you shouting about? I said, "Baby, I'm shouting because this year my net worth could be this amount." And see, I watched a film about 3 years ago, and they were criticizing these preachers for being wealthy. And I watched it because they were talking about the 20 richest preachers in the world. And listen, I'm about ready to get on the list. Hallelujah. And I was shouting. Then they could criticize me. But listen, don't blame me. Blame Jesus. Because Jesus has been good to me. Hallelujah. Hey, I love you. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? It really ain't that big a deal. You know, the richest preacher in the world in that film, they said he had $800 million. My son Andrew's boss has a net worth of over $800 million. It's no big deal in the world, but just God forbid, you know, this is how the world, God forbid that a preacher would have anything. But see, that's their stinking thinking. Amen? If you have stinking thinking, you get stinking receiving. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah, because Jesus been good to Pastor Lawson. Hallelujah. All right, and he'll be good to you. You know why? Because he's no respecter of persons. He's only a respecter of faith. And if you could believe it, you might receive it. Amen? So you better watch what you're believing and speaking, because you might receive, amen, what you're saying. Barbara, come.
Thanks for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.